This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm not going to say what you typed, Glenn. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 12th, episode 1233, brought to you by our listeners, the auditors. Thank you, guys. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. We appreciate you stopping by. And Jamie, you just can't follow directions. I mean, I make it simple. I put it there, and I'm sure it would have come out all wrong, which is exactly why I put it there.
Exactly. Yes, we had a haboob yesterday, Glenn, or what they call here, the boring people call it a dust storm, but the fun ones of us call it a haboob. And it's amazing.
The 12-year-olds of us who just have to say boob any chance we get.
Yeah, pretty much anybody who's not, you know, a newscaster calls it a haboob because it's more fun to say boob.
Right. And you know, when I typed that to you yesterday, I texted her to find out if you were having one. My phone would not let me type haboob. It kept coming out something else. Kept correcting
it. I think it was like ha-poop or something.
Yeah, right? Kept correcting it. It would not let me type boob.
Which is also funny. We should call it ha-poops.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, I got to say, we had such a fun show on Monday. It just was one of those days, and it was just funny, and it was fun. And we got a note from somebody, and I'm not going to leave out her name because I don't have permission, but I'm going to read what she wrote. She'll know who she is. And thank you so much for sending this. It really did make our day, all three of us. Good afternoon to you. So you have had me sitting here at work laughing until I cry. Thank you. This was such a fun time. You are the best. It has been a stressful, major decision-making time for me over the last couple of weeks. You made us realize that laughter really is the best medicine. The crazy life will be there when we get back to it. But dear God, we all need this kind of true out-and-out fun. Keep it up. What a great email. And, you know, that's why we do it. We do it so that we can help you forget about your troubles and forget about life for an hour and a half every morning and start your day off right. So we're glad we were able to do that for you. And I thank you very much for sending that. We really, really do appreciate it.
Do you want me to go over the list of inappropriate?
No, that's okay. If you missed what we were talking about for Monday, you want to go back and take a listen to that at horsesinthemorning.com or on our app. I think you'll be like her. You'll get fired for laughing at nothing while sitting at your desk.
I do have a list of, and this is fantastic, 8 horse girl approved responses to terrible pickup lines, which I think I should intersperse throughout the show.
Is this also from horse, whatever that was, .com?
I'm not giving away my sources, but
sounds like
the
when you
whole,
made up.
Some guy comes up to you at a bar and he says, "You must be tired because you've been running through my dreams all night."
Oh, God. Is that the worst pickup line in life anyway?
It's one of them. But that's true. I'm tired because I was up all night with my broodmare. Her udder is totally distended and swollen. And she was even waxing, but nothing happened for hours. She was pacing and uncomfortable, started to colic a little bit. My vet had to come up, stick his hand up her butt and do a rectal. How attractive am I now, stranger, at the bar?
You know what's funny is I could see you saying that too. Yeah. I could see you doing that. So doing
I've
that.
Got more. I've got more.
I bet you do. Jennifer, save us.
Oh, no. On today's Crappulous Wednesday edition, we will have a sprinkling of lists throughout the show. And once we have caught up on our co-host's most recent and upcoming horsey adventures, we're going to head on over to Georgia, where we will be geocaching on horseback. That's right. And in the third half of the show, the Velvet Voice of Victoria brings us the Horse and Country TV European Report. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, we have a lot of housekeeping to do here on the show this morning, but first I want to give my daily whinny out to Timothy, who at horsehubby.com, he did a great article called America's Horse Husband about moi and the Horse Radio Network, so you want to head over there to check it out. He's a great writer, and horsehubby.com, he puts up some great articles. We're going to talk about him in a little bit here. And I also wanted to thank David Jackson of the School of Podcasting, who asked me when we were at the podcast conference to do an interview, and I got asked to do a lot of interviews. I counted, it's almost 20. So I told him I wanted to do with him first because he started in 2005. He was way, way back, even before I started. And we had a great interview that's caused quite a stir in the podcasting world. And he's gotten a ton of response to it, so much so that he wrote me this morning and said, I don't know what I'm going to do this week to follow that up. And he said it'd probably be one of his best downloaded episodes ever. And I've gotten a lot of response to it, too. So thank you to David for putting that together. It was fun doing an interview with him, and you can find the link to that on my Facebook page at Glenn the Geek if you want to check out that interview, or
maybe,
also
maybe
at
I'll listen to a podcast. Maybe I'll listen to a podcast, and
I think you'll find this one interesting because we really were talking about the nitty-gritty of podcasting. So the radio geek in you will come out when you listen to that one. And he's good, actually. He was really good. I give him props for that. He's great at doing these interviews.
I can always use work on my interviewing skills anyway.
Yeah, you suck.
I'm terrible. My daily whinny goes out to our very brave, Monday morning co-host, I guess. She comes on, Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation. She is in the thick of it. She's in Rio, and she posted an article about being in Rio. She's basically at a test event for the Olympic Games. They need to keep on testing because things are a little bit, it's just very interesting to see her take and the take on what is going outside of the walls around the area where they're going to do even just the horse trial, the 3-day eventing. She jokes that the cross country courses, you know, you can see the poverty just beyond the razor wire cinder block wall that they have constructed around the cross country course.
Actually, they didn't have to construct it because the whole equestrian venue is on a military base, and that's how they keep everybody safe. The whole thing is inside a military base.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. That's crazy. It just, to look at her pictures and to hear about the kind of disparity that's going on in Rio, and the police that are there are not your friends. They are paid by drug lords. Apparently Rio is very complicated. And she said that the reason they had to, they had to leave the venue. Somebody came up, she's, you know, typing away in the press box, and somebody goes, we need to leave. And she was like, when? And the girl looks at her watch and goes, right now. Apparently, she said, a fleet of armored military vehicles screamed past us as we climbed into the bus. I hunkered down in my seat, trying to channel my inner Anderson Cooper, but the Brazilians seemed nonplussed. She shrugged, this sort of thing happens all the time. Basically, in a nutshell, Rio police had just shot and killed a major drug lord, alias Playboy, and there was some worry that retaliatory gang violence or riots may occur. Holy smokes!
I talked to Max Cochran last night, and you know, Max, she was the groom for the O'Connors for years.
Right.
And super nice person. And she now hosts the eventing show. We were talking before the show, and we were talking about Rio because she had been there for a bunch of different things. And she said, even the riders, when they when they were done at the end of the day at this military compound, right, they would put them all on a bus and they would bus them back to a guarded hotel. And she said, you just didn't go out at night. It was too dangerous. You didn't go to bars. You stayed at the hotel.
Yeah. That's what Leslie was saying. She's saying, just don't leave your hotel. But then she posts a picture of a bunch of cold beers in a bucket from her rooftop pool hotel at her hotel. So she's all right in the hotel.
I can't wait to talk to her again in a couple of weeks when she comes back. She's going to have some fun stories for sure. Well, that she did a good job of that article too. Jennifer, if you can find that, we'll post a link to it at Horses in the Morning Facebook.
I can post it.
Okay.
I can actually post it right now because I just posted it to my own page.
Well, while you're doing that, I have some housekeeping that we have to do. We have some exciting announcements here for Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network. But first, we have to talk about schedule. Jennifer and I are driving to Philadelphia starting tomorrow. So we're going to have a couple of Best Of episodes for you the rest of this week. We'll be back live on Monday from Ada. With Helena, we'll be co-hosting. She's making her way down to Philadelphia, so she'll be co-hosting. And then we're actually heading back to Helena's house for the rest of the week. So we will have a live show on Monday, but that'll be the only live feed that we do for till the 24th. So we will have new shows for you. We've recorded a bunch of new shows. They'll be put out on the app and on the website and any of your players. The feed will pick up the new shows. So we are going to have new shows for you over the next week and a half, but there will only be one live feed, and that'll be on Monday from Ada. And also, so we will be periscoping the show on Monday from Ada so you can actually see it. So if you downloaded the Periscope app and you're following Horse Radio Network on Periscope, Jennifer will be holding the phone periscoping the show on Monday so you'll get to see all the cool new products that we highlight at the trade show.
Cool. That's great. So I'm going to get these weird sounding alerts on my phone all day about.
Well, you're going to get them all weekend too, because we're going to be periscoping all weekend. Colleen from Horse Nation or Eventing Nation is going to be there.
Oh, good.
So we're going to periscope together a little bit over the weekend, showing you cool new products from that is until they tell us to stop. You know, ask permission later. So we'll just ask forgiveness when we're done. But yeah, we're going to be doing periscoping and trying to show you some great new products coming to the market. You'll first see them here on the Horse Radio Network. And we have some exciting news too, Jamie, here on Horses in the Morning.
You're pregnant.
That would be exciting news. That definitely would be exciting news, but that's not quite that exciting.
If I say I have exciting news, that's what people say to me. So I thought I should say it back to you.
You've said that once to us, and I didn't think we'd ever hear it again. So I haven't looked for that one.
Other people are wasting their time.
And I'm not too sure when you told us it was exciting news at that point. It was just news. It got exciting later. But
all right, what's your news?
All right, starting the fourth Thursday of every month, we have a new contributor to the show. Heather Cannon of Women of Rodeo is coming on and going to host an episode. And it's going to be all about the rodeo world and the women in rodeo. So she has a very popular blog and a very popular Facebook page dealing with this. And she is a Floridian down here. So she'll actually be in the studio doing her first episode. And those will be the first or the fourth Thursdays of every month. And then the first Tuesdays of every or the first Thursdays of every month, we have something very exciting for you because, you know, we do say uniting the horse world, but we've been limited in our number of hosts from different countries. We do have two English people hosting Eventing Radio now every other week. And now we're going to be doing an Australian episode here on Horses in the Morning on the first Thursday of every month with Fiona Deering of Remote Coach. We had her on our show years ago, like 2012. She was one of the ESMA winners and she came on, stayed up to 2 a.m. to do our show live. And now she'll be hosting the first Thursday of every month. And she just knows everybody that's horsey in Australia. So I'm looking forward to getting their perspective. They're a huge listening audience for us now, almost tied with Canada. So we're very excited to be I'm excited to hear the accents. That's pretty much what I'm in it for.
Yeah.
And then another announcement, Timothy Harfield, who you might recognize as Elisa Wallace's husband, who does a blog called horsehubby.com, and he's an excellent writer. We've teamed up now, and we're going to be doing a Horse Husbands episode of Horses in the Morning starting in September. And it's just going to be guys, no women allowed. This is guy time, and we're going to record it in the evening when everybody has adult beverages and when we can get the horse husbands on the line, and we're going to put it out on the weekend. It's going to be a special weekend episode of Horses in the Morning, and it's going to be all horse hubby talk. So stay tuned for that. We'll let you know.
Nice. And no girls allowed.
No girls allowed.
Even guests.
Nope. No girls. This is boy time. We don't want any girls ruining our time. So
well, we're going to
be in the man cave doing the show.
I'm calling in, and you're not going to know it's me. And you're going to be like, oh, we have a call. Let's take that call. And good morning, listener. How can I help you? And I'm going to be like, hi, like I totally scored and I'm on your show.
Well, don't you be surprised if one of the first guests we don't have on our show is a certain fighter pilot husband.
Oh, Lord have mercy. He's busy. I don't know when it is. He's busy.
I'm thinking that
especially
he'll be...
Especially now, my God, he's the most patient man on the planet.
Well, you know, before we were chatting about Jamie's life before the show, and I said to her, I said, how is this man staying with you? I'm not sure I'd be at this point.
I'm good in bed. That must be it.
I can't think of any other reason, to be honest, Jamie, at this point. You know, and that has limits, too. I'm just warning you. You're probably coming to the end of that one. So,
5 years is the limit for that.
Yeah, well, you're coming up on 7. You better step it up if you want to keep him around. That's all I'm saying.
I better be a better cook. I need to take cooking classes.
Well, you need to not be a vegan. That would be the first thing to help that. But I'm just saying. Just saying.
That's the one. Yeah.
Hey, I got to say, too, before we talk about your new horse, which is what everybody really wants to hear about, I got to say that in these videos, that vegan thing's really working for you. You're looking great.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I pretty quickly lost all the baby weight, 10 pounds, and I'm 2 pounds under where, you know, because women, we just know what we weigh. I'm 2 pounds under where I even was when I got pregnant. So, which I had some room to lose.
Okay,
back then.
If all I was going to lose being a vegan was 2 pounds, I would say that's definitely not worth it.
No, and then about 15 pounds ahead of that, oh. I lost really 10 to 15 pounds. I lost pretty quick. So I'm back to, I'm actually pre-baby weight. I'm pre-baby weight, but even less than that. So thank you. I still have the room to go. My God,
cheese. You look terrific. Thank you. And you look like a flea riding that horse in the video I saw today.
I didn't think it was that bad, actually. He's really comfortable for me to sit on. Sometimes horses are
super wide, which helps.
Right.
Yeah.
He's not super wide, which is because like Thor, you know, I love Thor and I'll keep him forever, but my God, my hips hurt after getting off him because he's so dang wide. He's like sitting on a sofa,
well,
you know.
For the 10 people who didn't hear Monday's show, why don't you give everybody just a quick recap and then we'll hear how it went the first day.
So randomly over the weekend, I went to see a horse that was on that was for sale, and I'm not looking for a horse for sale, and I haven't been looking for a horse, but this one kind of fell in my lap, and it was just a really good deal and looked like a really good eventing prospect. And my horse Edward is really loves show jumping, but he's not the biggest fan of cross country. So I've been, you know, like maybe he should not compete. And I haven't competed in forever because he just hasn't wanted to do it. So I thought, well, let's go look. Chad's like, let's go look at it. So we go and look at it, and he's a big, giant, spoiled brat, bites, you know, he's mouthy, but this is the owner was like, yeah, he bites, but here, let me move over. I'm gonna give him another treat. Like that, like this is how all of these things are. I'm watching all of these things happen, and the horse, you know, like I'm like, hey, let me see you canter him. And she's like, oh, she's too afraid to canter him. So he basically is super lazy because he won't canter. And then he's like, oh, I'm not going to canter. And now I'm going to try to like crow hop you off. And, you know, he doesn't scare me anyway, but he's like 17.
He had all the buttons figured out. Didn't he?
Oh yeah. He had her number and he had everybody's number. And he's just a big giant bully, but he's a big giant wuss at the same time. So when I was test riding him, I'm like, oh, like you're really
Thor
not
Thor could kick
that.
His butt.
Oh, Thor would crush this dude. And you know, after riding Jet and having all, you know, I think my confidence is really high with my techniques, which I have Monty Roberts and Flag Is Up Farms to thank for that, because I feel really confident with my techniques. And because of Jet, I feel really confident in the tack, because not many horses can throw what that horse did to at me. And I survived and I learned, you know. So I think between technique and being able to stickability, I should call it, I feel pretty good. So
Velcro butt.
I took him, I rode him, and we ended up, she delivered him yesterday. And now I didn't buy him. He's on trial. I just want to get him kind of checked out first and be able to ride him. And she really, bless her heart, she loves this horse and wants him to go to a good home. And just, it's not working out for her. And you guys know there's always another place that where your horse could go that could be a better place.
And sometimes it's a better decision for the horse to do that.
It really, and this horse was not being used. He has no muscle. He is a total jerk, you know, but he's a cute jerk.
Boot camp.
And he's good at boot camp, exactly. Now, the problem that I'm coming up with is I don't own him, and I hate the shoes. Jennifer, he's on those, like, giant pads with heels. And I asked her, I said, really? Why? Like, pad,
why
like elevated
heels?
Why is a
17.3-hand horse wearing heels?
He's going to be 16'2 when I pull these dang shoes off. My God, they're like stacked. And I said, so why exactly do you have this? And she said, oh, the farrier said the angles were off. She's like, I pay a lot for them. They're like $190 every time I shoe them. And I was like, well, we're pulling them off. Like, I'm getting him pulled off Thursday. I don't own the horse, but I figure, you know, I can't ride. It just, I feel like he's on high heels. And there's just seems to be
do his feet look like they are way off?
He has beautiful feet, but he's a low-heeled thoroughbred. But when you elevate the heels of a horse, you know, you put him on there, the fetlock drops. Yep. So you're causing more stress on the joints anyway. So I'm pulling this crap off.
Well, and it can affect their movement, obviously, too. And you want to see what he moves like naturally, not with aids.
He moves like he's got big, heavy shoes on, and he's on his tippy toes. And he almost fell yesterday when I was asking for the right lead canter. And I'm like, that's it. I'm pulling him off. And if she gets mad, then I'll just have to figure out what to do, you know, if I send him back. But I can't ride him like this. So anyway, I did post the video of his left lead canter, and he is a racehorse, ex-racehorse, and he did canter great to the left. The right lead, I will never show a video of that. It was a nightmare because of my ego. I will not show a video of the right lead canter, but I did win. I always win. So it happened, but it was not pretty.
Well, like, he does cover ground. That is for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because the video you had of the first time you sat on him at the owner's house and the video you showed at your house, even between those two, you could see a difference.
Oh, my gosh. When I cantered him to the left,
and you can see an improvement.
Yeah. He didn't get stupid at all. And, you know, this is the first time I've taken this horse into my arena. There's two lunge line lessons going on. There's two other kids on, one girl is on Edward and another girl is on Duke. And there's all these people. I've got a puppy. I've got a baby running around the outside. Chad's pulling weeds with the gator on the outside. Like, there was so much activity and he didn't care. And that's the kind of horse I'm looking for an event horse. It's not one that I pull off the trailer and it's it's stressful for the horse. I want him to get off the trailer and be like, oh, okay. And a lot of that just takes a lot of time and patience. But
are you going to have to cut a hole in the roof of the trailer where he stands?
Oh, my God. I don't know, dude.
You're going to need that extra tall horse trailer that we came across on Bad Ads.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
That's true. I need a convertible trailer on Philly Bad Ads. Yeah.
One thing I noticed, obviously, he's not extending yet and doing all of that. But boy, when he does, it's good. You're going to feel like you are moving.
Yeah, he's going to be super nice. Like I said, I get these just awful giant shoes on him and off of him and try to kind of get him back to some semblance of just a horse. Like, she brought me his grain and, she loves this horse. I got to give her credit, but she brought me like 4 or 5 days worth of grain, and there is more powder in the bag than actual grain. He's on like 12 different supplements. This is for his skin. This is for his coat. This is, what's that app that if you plug in everything, you're over, it tells you. Like I said, there's more powder. This is for a stomach. This is for Cosequin. This is this. This is this. This is this. And I'm like, I don't even know how he chokes this down. It's all powder.
Well, you know, he's got a good appetite. He's a good eater.
He is a good eater. That is true. Yeah. But I mean, my God, it's like, you know, she just loves him a little too much. So this horse is going to be in for a little bit of a culture shock when he gets these $180 shoes pulled off and he starts eating actual just food. Like, he's just going to eat
maybe
food.
An omega alpha supplement or two, and that's it.
I already told her, I said, I'm not going to do all these supplements. I said, I have Biotic 8 and I'd like to put him on that. And then, you know, maybe if he needs some minerals later on, then when we get into harder work, that's about it. Like, he's not going to get 14 different joint supplements and coat supplements and these things and these and hoof supplements. And oh, this one is for this. And I wrote him down. I don't have my phone with me, but I wrote him down. It was like shocking. How many supplements is
you know? Even Smart Pack will flag you if you have 8 little bins. They have their vets take a look.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm trailing trade secrets here, but they will flag people who they think are overdoing it because with the Smart Pack, that's per horse, so you know they're buying it for that one horse.
Yeah,
and they definitely take a look at that then because you can, you know, even they realize you can over supplement, and some of those things can really fight each other.
Yeah, so, or over, you know, you can overdo on not. Things that aren't water soluble.
In each one, yeah. Too. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I just we're gonna get him back to the basics and kind of get him to be a horse. But the bones are there. I mean, he is gonna be really nice, I think. And he's just a little bit of a spoiled brat. Like to the right lead, he was like, I don't want to do that. And then at one point, he tried to run back to the gate. So he's totally gate sour, as you could see in the first video I posted. So he's found out where my gate was, and he started to run back to the gate. And I thought, you ain't got nothing on Thor bolting back to the gate. I'm like, you're big, but you're not
as quick. You're not
that big. You're amateur. You're not as big as a quick Mustang who wants to run back to the barn. So I'm like, get over here. Get her. And he's like, oh my God, this woman won't leave me alone. I just want to go back to the barn. But I did finally have to just kind of end things before they got stressful. I just ask too much all at once. And I kind of tried to end on a nice note. You know, I'm like, you don't have to, I had to remind myself, he doesn't have to stand perfectly still right now. I don't have to back him up 4 miles because he's not standing still. Right. You know, so there's like, part of me just needs to relax a little bit and be a little less demanding. And I have to remind myself of that. But otherwise, the bones are there. He's going to be really good. I've already scheduled a vet for next week to come out and vet him. And, you know, she's already taken, shocker, she's got x-rays of every joint already. So I don't have to do all the joint x-rays or anything.
I got to tell you, I looked at your comments that you got after you posted it the other day about other people who have big horses. And, you know, he's coming in at 17.2, 17.3. And when he fills out, you know, and muscles up, he's going to look huge. And I love some of the comments on there, having owned Percherons before. What happens with big horses, and this is true for any horse, but more important for big horses because they can hurt you accidentally easier, is their groundwork has to be very good, and they just can't get away with crap. You can't let them get away with crap because, you know, with the Percherons coming in at over a ton, you know, they could hurt you without realizing they even hit you, you know, or even ran into you. And that was the problem we had with the Percherons, was we never got hurt with them on their back. We always, every time we'd get hurt is just them stepping on our feet or whatever. Yeah. And you just get hurt quicker.
And he almost got my foot yesterday because he's not mean. He's just big and kind of oaf-like, and he just doesn't understand his big size.
We call him Baby Huey. They're kind of like Baby Huey. Yeah. They're just kind of big oafs. And
he's a big Baby Huey.
Some of them are really careful about their feet and where they step. And, you know, any non horse person now would be going, well, why is that such a big deal? You know, every horse person knows why that's such a big deal. But yet but we had one that wasn't very careful, and boy, he'd get your foot and you'd be black and blue for a month. I mean, Put a ton on your foot. It hurts. So, yeah, no. I think the groundwork is where, you know, and Monty would, you know, that, and that ties right into Monty's teaching, right? I mean, get that groundwork down and make sure he's handleable on the ground before, you know, and everything else will come. And
I absolutely and that's why I said my confidence level with that kind of stuff is so high after spending 2 weeks at Flag Is Up, and I think it just been I think all of these things have led me to be ready for this horse at this time, because you know a 16 three-hand horse would scare me and any other time in my life, you know, but now that I feel like I have the tools in my tool belt to fix things and address things, plus having a dually halter, I'm not leading him anywhere without it, because he just flat, I'm going to go that way. I'm going that way.
Does the dually really work? It works for Scooter when we pony him and stuff. He used to just do whatever the heck he wanted, but now, and this is not a commercial for dually halters, but now with the dually halter, he won't. I mean, he just doesn't.
It's really great because it has a pull mechanism, but it also has a push mechanism. You know, it's like it pulls and releases. And it's not pull pressure. It's just a tightening of the nose band around the nose. So when they move forward, it loosens. And then if you want to back them up, you can push it back. You know, it works forward and back.
It's much different than having the chain. It's much different than that.
And well, and yeah. I find that when you put a chain around a horse's nose that's had a chain on a lot, you go to pull the chain through the metal, and they freak out. They start to freak out when just they hear the chain coming through. And it's always made me really nervous to put a chain over a horse's nose for that reason. And so I guess I worked with too many crazy young thoroughbreds. Because yeah. You pull it, that chain goes through them, and they're like, ah! So anyway, I find that the dually halter works really well with him, and I'm so glad I have two different sizes now. Wow. I just was like, we went shopping when we were in California.
All right, you had your first date yesterday, and it was probably a good day to have a first date. You had a haboob happen at the same time. You had a dust storm happen, and if he was good through all of that, and I didn't realize till I saw the pictures yesterday that in those dust storms you guys get, you got a lot of lightning. There were some impressive pictures coming out of Phoenix yesterday.
Yeah, it was a good one, but it's that time of the month, and you know what the haboob did was make it super nice for the rest of the day for us to ride.
Really
humid, but we had clouds, and it was like 92, 95.
Wow, that's so cold for you guys.
We're freezing to death. We had our jackets on.
So yeah, I mean, you really got a good test. Now the thing I always tell people, youngsters, when they're going on their first date, especially girls, is find. You have to go in with your eyes open, and I want to know one negative you found about that person on your first date. So what would be your negative that you found about him on your first date?
You know, I actually was thinking I should call. What I usually ask people is, what's the worst thing about this horse that I'm going to find? And so far when I went in yesterday, I fly spray him. He hates being fly sprayed. I mean, I can fix it, but I would have liked to know that he was going to run backwards like, oh my God! I can't be sprayed.
Beaker's that way. Beaker's still that way after all these years. He'll stand still now, but he hates it.
Yeah. One thing that I was super impressed with, though, is that when you go to put the bridle on, he puts his head down. I was like, oh, I love you.
That's nice. You don't need a stepladder to put his bridle on.
Yes, and I do with Thor, so, and he's 16 hands, so it was much improved. I thought that was really sweet, so I was pretty surprised at that. And he takes the bit well.
He's okay with that.
Took the bit great. Took the saddle very well. You know, I kind of feeling him out for all of that stuff because she tacked him up at the other place. But I had Lucas with me, so I wasn't able to really watch because he was running all over the place. So I kind of had to find that out yesterday. And he did great with that. And he's not really super spooky. But yeah, the fly spray thing, I was like, whoa, calm down there, big guy. Know about that.
Well, very good. I'm excited. We're all excited. All the listeners and I and us, we're excited to hear this progress over the. Now, we won't hear from you until the trial's over at this point.
Yeah, until after we've vetted him and everything.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. We'll all follow you on Facebook. Everybody has. And be sure to make posts on Horses in the Morning page, too.
I'm sorry if I talk too much about my horse. I'm boring you guys. I just.
No,
you know.
We all live for new horses. I mean, that's what we live for, right? So everybody else,
it is exciting to like look outside and have a new face out there. It's always fun,
yeah.
You know, to see a new guy out there and to imagine what it's going to be like in the future. And hopefully he'll work out. And once I pull these shoes, I won't cripple him. And we'll see how it goes. But
wait,
if anybody has any...
what's going to happen with your hay bale?
Oh, my God, I know. Oh, I've already been warned. They're like, he eats a lot.
Yeah.
He eats a lot. I'm like, Edward eats a lot, too. So between the two of them, I'm going to go broke.
Yep, you better find a source for hay, have it shipped in by track. You know, when you move to Oklahoma, that's going to become an easier thing for you. That's,
yeah.
Hay is going to be much, much, much cheaper than it is where you are now. And oh, by the way, I heard from somebody last Friday, I think, you referred to Oklahoma as being in the South. And I had an Oklahoman drop me a note to correct you and say that Oklahoma is not in the South. So they were highly offended that you said that Oklahoma was part of the South.
And why would being a part of the South be offensive?
I don't know, but they said it was not part of the South. It's Midwest.
Well, Blake Shelton is pretty Southern, and I kind of base it. He's from Oklahoma. And you know who else from Oklahoma? Garth Brooks and Carrie Underwood. And they're all from Oklahoma, and they're all kind of Southern. So there you go. What is he called? The Midwest?
It's Midwest, yeah. And it is kind of Midwest, I guess. Or is it even considered West? I guess it's Midwest.
It's kind of Mideast. It's the Middle East. You live in the Middle East. Is that better than being Southern? I don't think so.
Jennifer, how's our guest doing?
Well, I believe he is in a safe place. He had to get off the road to talk on the phone.
Okay.
Because guess what? He's in Georgia and he's in traffic.
Oh, yeah, there's no... Jamie can tell you all about that. Well, Jamie, how about this? Seeing we're going to be running a little late with the guest, why don't we do our song, and then we'll come back and get our guest on.
Okay, sounds good.
We have coming up, just for Jamie, because it's going to be our last show for a little bit here, we have Peace, Love, and Horses. I did that just
Yay!
For you from Jared Rogerson. But first, we're going to hear a little bit about the Horse Radio Network, and then we're coming back to talk about geocaching, which I thought you would have no idea what it was, and here it turns out you're a geocacher. So we're going to talk, first time we ever talked about that on the show, coming right up.
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Wildflowers in her hair. She can go anywhere on that Palomino mare. She's got Rocky Mountain ivory that she wears around her neck. And the Grateful Dead plays a song in her head. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me. She's drive a tractor, milling hay for miles and miles. She says innocence grows right out of the ground. She believes in heaven and what goes around comes around. Somewhere between cowboy and hippie, she's all about peace, love, horses, and me. Doing that song that he sang about two books with different covers, but the pages are the same. As certain as a river in the spring, you seal a deal with a handshake. That's her philosophy. She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is the one thing that can change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
Well, that is Peace, Love, and Horses by Jared Rogerson. And you can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings live. And Coach Jen is trying to get our guest on, had him on, and now he's gone again. So I don't know what's happening there in Georgia, Jamie.
It's just a mess. There's probably a tornado, you know.
Well, while we're waiting for the guest back, I got to tell you, this is so funny. I was opening the mail, yesterday's mail before the show, and I was just sitting here opening the mail, and we got this very official-looking envelope in the mail that looked like it was from the government. And of course, what do we always think? Oh, the IRS. I'm getting audited, right?
You know, I find that the mail really never has anything good in it.
Yeah, it's always bills now. You never really get much fun.
Bills are junk mail, yeah.
So I opened this envelope with trepidation, thinking, oh, God, here we go. Or it was a lawsuit, but it didn't look like it was from a lawyer. It was from the Arbor Day Foundation. And the Arbor Day Foundation had a survey. Now, if you're getting, and it said it was the 2015 Florida Tree Survey. So now, Jamie, if we're doing a Florida Tree Survey, what would you expect the questions would be about?
I would go with trees.
And, you know, maybe how many trees, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like how many trees do you have? Do you like trees? Have you cut any down? That kind of stuff.
No. The first question was, have you ever climbed a tree?
What?
The second question is, when you were a child, did you ever play under a tree? And it goes on and on with silly questions like that. We'll have to finish this, but first let's get our guest on. Well, before we lose him again, we have Greg Mixon on. He is of the Roosevelt Riding Stables.
Roosevelt, sorry.
at the FDR State Park, which is the largest state park in Georgia. And we're going to talk a little bit about geocaching. Good morning, Greg. Greg, are you there?
It doesn't seem like
he's there. Jennifer,
we
might have to get Greg back another day because it's just not working.
Well, I was gonna find out where Greg is. You said he's stuck in Atlanta traffic, and right now on 85 southbound, just before Jimmy Carter Boulevard, there's a crash blocking the two right lanes. So it's backed up all the way back to 316. So a lot of delays on 85 south heading down out of Gwinnett County. Now, if you're making your way in the downtown connector northbound, there is a right lane blocked because of an accident there right at North Druid Hills Boulevard. 75 south, we got some construction right at the 75. I-5-575 merge. You got a couple lanes blocked there. Also, 285 heading eastbound, making your way across the top end perimeter. We've got a crash on the right shoulder now. Just all lanes have been reopened. 75 just past I-575. I'm sorry, 285 just past 75.
God, you remember it. Never leaves you, does it, Jamie?
I'm rusty.
I'm surprised when you can go back into that. I don't know, Jennifer, what do you want to do? Do you want to try and get him back when he's another day, when he's in a little better place? Obviously, he's in the state park with no cell reception, apparently, at this point. Jennifer, are you there?
We lost her, too. It's just you and me, Glenn.
I'm here.
Okay. What do you want to do? Do you want to get him back another day?
We will get Greg back another day.
Okay. All right, good. All right, so Jamie, this is the questionnaire that I got yesterday from the Arbor Day Foundation, the 2015 Florida Tree Survey. The first thing they ask is your age and your level of education and your income. So that's the first thing they ask from the Arbor Day Foundation. And then the questions go like this.
Do you want to take me to dinner first before you put your hands all over me?
I really expected them to ask. The two questions I expected on this survey were, how many trees do you have and what kind? Right? I mean, that's what you'd expect. No, it's, have you ever climbed a tree? Yes or no. When you were a child, did you ever play under a tree? Yes or no. Did you ever collect leaves, acorns, or pine cones for a school project?
Is this a joke?
Did you ever relax? No, it's not a joke. It's the Arbor Day Foundation. Did you ever relax in the shade of a tree?
Oh my God. No, I live in the desert. It's the only cactus.
Now, they do ask a question that actually relates to a tree in Florida. Do you think that the cabbage palmetto is an appropriate choice for the state tree of Florida?
No, I'm bored already with this.
Do you work out? And then it goes on to ask about, what do you think is the most important thing about trees? Now, have you ever really given trees that much thought? The final question in this is, have you ever planted a tree? It never asked how many trees I have. It never asked how many. It never asked any of the questions that you would expect from the 2015 Florida Tree Survey.
That's amazing. And you know what? Somebody got paid an awful lot of money and they spent a lot of money mailing that fancy thing out. So,
and you know, the only four questions they wanted answered was your age and your income and your education, because that's all they cared about.
Seriously. Yep, ridiculous.
But they did send us, you know how sometimes you get weird stuff like this and they send you the little return address labels for your envelopes?
Tree seeds?
But no seeds, but they sent us return address labels for our envelopes, so I'm always happy when we get those.
That makes more sense to send you tree seeds.
I think it would too, like carrots puts on the carrot seeds. It makes sense. But
yeah,
they didn't. They sent us this crappy survey, which I'm now throwing away.
Glenn, I hope that you know CPR.
Why?
Because you take my breath away.
Well, oh.
You know what? That's really sweet. But what a terrible feeling. Because last summer, like when I crashed my horse through like a 4-foot brush fence at my first prelim outing, I cracked 3 ribs. I bruised my spleen. And then I had to be airlifted to the nearest hospital, which was like 20 minutes away by helicopter. I required CPR almost the whole way. I was getting pretty shocky. And then afterwards, the EMT said I give them quite a scare. What a day that was. You want to buy me a drink?
All right, I want to hear another one. These are good. Oh, remind everybody what this is.
So this is the 8 Horse Girl approved responses to terrible pickup lines. And I've actually heard this one. And it's like, really? Is your father a thief? No? Well, then who stole the stars from the sky and put them in your eyes?
You gotta be kidding me. I want to puke myself. And I'm a guy.
My dad is like an actual insurance agent, but that does remind me of the time that I got Cool Lube in my eyes. They were sparkling then, I'll tell you. I was clipping my horse in front of a fan and wham, the stuff blew right in. They do say it's eco-friendly, but my gosh, did it burn. Although it wasn't half as bad as the time I got DMSO on an apple that I was sharing with my horse and it tasted just like garlic, but like the worst garlic breath like you've ever had in your whole life. I was tasting garlic for days. I actually think I'm tasting it right now, honestly. Smell my breath. Does it taste like smell like garlic? I might be ad-libbing on this.
How did you ever get a date?
It's a little, it comes a little natural, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little too natural. I'd say, okay, I want to hear another one. These are fun.
Oh, gosh.
Where did this list come from anyway?
I'm not telling.
Oh. Okay.
If I had to rate you on a scale from 1 to 10, you'd be a 9 because I'm the one you're missing. A 9? Well, I guess out of 10, that's well above average. Did you know during my last Classic Hunter score, I scored a 65, a 65, and it was a local show. Can you believe it? And all season long, my lowest score ever was a 75, but that was when I was riding in Vermont. My mom went up to the judge afterwards, like to totally complain. And the judge told her we had, among other things, a rub on the fence. Don't you think my horse, if he had a rub, I'd be the first to know about it? Sorry, what was your name?
You know, just the talking would send me away.
Did it hurt when you fell out of heaven? Oh, what? My God, no. God, heaven was easy. But when I fell out of the hayloft, though, like one time, that was something else. It was 5:30 in the morning. I was like the only one at the barn. And I learned later I had a cracked bone in my arm and I sprained my ankle, but I had to keep bleeding. And then I had to clean 12 stalls, scrub water buckets, and turn out nearly a dozen rowdy young horses, all with one arm. Can you stand it? Where are you going? Where are you? Hello?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to remember what my pickup line for Jennifer was.
Did you have a pickup line?
Well, I was in a dress and tights. I didn't need one, really. It was a pickup line all in itself.
These are from Horse Collaborative, but I am adding a considerable amount. I do like the one because we've talked about it already. Are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10 I see.
Oh, God. Ah! That one's really bad.
That is so funny.
I feel
funny.
Sick in my stomach. I'm going to go get some Chepto. Oh, man.
That is so funny because, like, no, I'm from Georgia originally, but I just spent the last 50 hours riding in the back of an air ride horse trailer from New York all the way to Calgary, though, with 4 jumpers. So I'm, like, really familiar with many of the lower 48 states. And word to the wise, an air mattress can be hell on your back, but you really need to close the vents before you fall asleep, or you'll wake up in the middle of a rain puddle in the middle of the night. And, I mean, my God, the stink. I found that out the hard way. Hey, do I have any hay in my hair? Where are you going?
Okay, so at this point, when you answer with any of these, does the guy just turn around and walk away? He doesn't say anything, does he? He just walks away. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to say?
Here's what you're going to say. Here's the best pickup line that anybody's ever come up with for a horse girl. And this is going to be the
Lord
end
knows
of my
I need him, right?
So. Hi, I make more money than you can spend. Hey, nice to meet you. Is that a fact? How's it going? Nice to meet you. Let's get a drink.
So what was Chad's pickup line?
You know,
you guys were sitting beside each other on the plane. He didn't need one, right? I mean, so.
Oh, the first thing that he says to me, okay, I'm sitting there, I'm reading a magazine. And I've got this cute little designer cap on. I mean, I'm looking good, you know, I'm like got my outfit on. I get the whole thing. And he sits down next to me and I'm reading the magazine. And one of the problems was I had Invisalign, you know, those invisible braces. And I was wearing them when he sat down next to me. And so you can't talk when you have those without spitting across at some, you know, and he's sitting right next to me and he sits down and he looks at me and he goes, "Are you in the Air Force?" And I was like, if he says, because you just flew away with my heart, I'm going to punch him. Like, that's exactly what I thought he said. And I looked at him and I was like, you know, trying not to spit. I'm like, no. And then when I saw him, I was like, oh my God, he's cute. So like, I kind of turned my cheek to the left and like pull out my braces. There's like a string of spit that goes with it. You know, I pull them out and I slide them into my shirt jacket, you know, pocket. And I'm waiting for the response of this, "Are you in the Air Force?" And he's like, oh. And I said, "Why are you?" And he's like, "Yeah." And that's all he says. I'm like, I'm sorry. Why on earth would you ask me if I was in the Air Force? He's like, "Because your hat has the Air Force logo on it." I was like, what? this designer cap I had was the Air Force logo was on the front of the cap. And I didn't know what the Air Force logo was. Why would I know that? It was cool looking. Like, here I am, a total idiot wearing some designer cap that I have no idea what it is. No clue. Now I just wear ball caps. But
you know, I still have the same question I've always had is, why the hell is he with you?
Because I'm funny. You know what? We've actually talked about it. He's so like serious and organized, and I'm so...
Which I'm very thankful for, being that he's a high-ranking officer in the Air Force who flies very expensive airplanes. I'm really thankful for that, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's this has became the check out the Jamie relationship disaster hour. So yeah, we actually talked about it just 2 days ago. I'm like, what are we doing? But I make him like,
you make
we
him
have
more
this,
fun, probably.
Well, we have this chicken. No, he's fun, but we have this chicken in our living room, right? In a cage in our living room. And he's like, I cannot believe that I am sitting in my living room and because the chicken makes sense.
Oh, we're getting a little feedback from Victoria, I think.
Oh.
Who just joined us.
Well, he just said that I make him more compassionate. He's like, I never would have thought of saving a chicken by keeping it in our living room. And I kind of soften him up a little bit. And he tends to help me stay focused and organized. So we're a good team.
Compassionate is an interesting word that he used for that. That's a good word.
Oh, well, thanks. He's like, I never thought of saving a dog or saving a horse or saving anything.
All right, let's do this. Let's play this.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And we welcome Victoria Spicer. Hello, Victoria.
Hello, how are you both?
We are fantastic. You sound great. What's the weather like over there? Is it hot and rainy?
No, it's cold. It's dull and cold, so never mind.
Are you serious? It's August. Yes,
she sounds so depressed. I want to give you a hug.
We had summer. We had a summer for a couple of weeks in July, so it's been and gone.
Oh my gosh.
You just want to hug her?
Yeah, I do. She has what do they call it? Sad seasonal affective disorder. Like, she doesn't see the sun enough and she like gets depressed.
In August, yeah.
Man. Well, you can come here because it's about 115 degrees here in Arizona. So, well, come on out. I'll give you some summer. I'll give you some summer. Well, it'll be like that until about October. So, you're welcome.
Sounds good. I've just bought my plane ticket, so I'll see you soon.
Come on over. Hey, you guys are having the FEI European Championships in Aachen. And did I read it correctly that former multiple gold medal dressage rider and world champion, two-time world champion, three-time Olympic gold medalist, Anki von Grunsven, is riding in the reigning division?
She is. She's not happy with, you know, dominating the sport of dressage. She's now doing something else. So, yeah, she's doing the reigning. And apparently, the guinea pig rider who kind of does their routine first before the competition gets underway is Michael Schumacher's daughter, who is the famous Formula One driver who had that head injury, I think, last year. So, yes, lots of well-known names in the reigning this year.
Good Lord, like, she's not good enough. I mean, she has won three Olympic gold medals.
Yeah, we saw her. She actually started that before the 2010 Olympics and came over here and competed in reigning in that Olympic, or in that World Equestrian Games, rather. So,
she did.
Did it start with one of those celebrity, like, you know, they do it at Rolex where they have the Rolex riders come in and ride reigning horses for fun. And she probably did it and was like, oh, I like this.
What's really cool is now all her dressage horses do sliding stops. It's great. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
It could help. I mean, my God.
Stop
at
X and salute the judge.
Oh my God, that'd be hilarious. So yeah, that's interesting. And so she's riding, and now you guys are covering the championships, and they start with the opening ceremonies today, right?
It was yesterday, so actually the dressage is underway today. So we've had our first British rider, who's I think currently sitting in about sixth position. So not a bad start to the team competition. Although I did just read on Horse and Hound that Carl Hester, who's competing tomorrow, fell off. So apparently he was he'd done some exercise with his horse Nip Tuck, and then he went for a hack, and a waiter dropped a tray full of glasses when the horse was going past, and the poor horse was petrified and Carl fell off. So apparently both are fine, but it's not the start that they wanted.
Hey,
these poorly trained horses that they have.
Speaking of which, do you have any update? We did have somebody fall off and have a serious injury over there, Andrew Nicholson, in Eventing, New Zealand's Andrew Nicholson. Of course, everybody knows the name. And apparently he had neck surgery.
Yes, he has. We've been getting statements from his PR company, and he is he's had neck surgery and he's in a stable condition, but it's quite worrying. And it's a funny combination, him and this horse, because, you know, he's known as Mr. Stickability, but he has had a few tumbles, and he actually won the Eventers Challenge at Hickstead with this horse a couple of weeks ago, and he said at the time that he'd managed to tip him up by going quickly, and he'd made a few mistakes. So I think he is a horse that has got incredible potential and is brilliant, but can sometimes get it badly wrong. And I'm hoping Andrew makes a speedy recovery.
Wow.
Now, I think, and I read your wonderful, well-written article on horseandcountry.tv called Totalis versus Velegro.
Is it today? I literally just press published on that. So yes, and somebody's commented on our Facebook, why do you keep comparing these horses? Obviously Totalis is the best. And, so I'm going to explain to all your listeners why I can keep comparing them, and that is because both of them are capable of scoring over 90%, and no other horse in the history of the world is. So that's why I keep comparing them.
Well, you gotta compare them. It's like a match race. This is like a match race made in heaven, dressage heaven. If there is a dressage heaven, this is it right here.
Exactly. And they've never faced each other at their best. Actually, the only times they have met each other, the first time Velegro had barely done any Grand Prix tests, so he was a real baby and he was just moving up to that level. And the last time they met, which is a year ago, Velegro produced a really below par performance and scored really low compared to what he normally gets. So they've never had a fair head-to-head battle, and this could be it. We should have three chances to see them compete against each other, and I'm so excited.
Never in the history of the world has this sentence that she published on the Horse and Country TV been uttered. Tomorrow, I can just hear like the movie trailer voice. Tomorrow, if both horses show their true abilities, we could see the closest, toughest, highest scoring dressage battle of all time.
I've managed to make, I think I'm going to blame you for this. You've managed to make it sound like a wrestling match.
So. Yes, it's crazy.
Hey, people pay $100 to see wrestling matches, so that's great. Yeah.
It's for the first time more than a year that the two titans of this sport have competed against each other. And the last time that it goes on to talk about, Velegro was just starting out his Grand Prix career while Totalis was an established record breaker. The latter. You're writing it like it's a wrestling match, and it's great. Please don't take offense in that. Dressage has never been
this exciting.
Reported on as so exciting.
Yes, right.
It is, but they have changed the sport. And I kind of go on to say that at the end of the article, that I used to watch, Olympic and world and European championships, and there would be empty seats in the stands. You know, the freestyle would be a bit more popular, but the Grand Prix was often played to empty audiences. And now you go, and I think dressage ends up, it sold more quickly, or it sold more tickets at the World Cup in Las Vegas, the dressage did, than the show jumping. That was unthinkable a while ago. And so the fact that it's happening is down to these two horses and what they've done to the sport.
And the final line, you're absolutely right, and the final line is perfect. Whether it's Totalis or Velegro, one thing is for sure, this could be the most exciting dressage competition of our generation. Don't miss it. And you're right. I mean, they've changed it. They've changed, you know, Totalis was actually, when the World Equestrian Games were here, he was almost mainstream news. And that never happens in America, more for dressage or for a horse, really, you know, so to have it as a dressage horse. And now, you know, anybody who's anybody in any horse sport in the world knows who, you know, Vallegro is. And so it's just there. It's going to be very exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. It's really exciting. So they're both competing tomorrow evening. So, and I'm actually doing dressage on my horse. So I'm going to have to do my really low level test and then race back home to find out what's happening. Fortunately, Horse and Country will have reporters there in Aachen, so they can do the hard work. I'll just watch.
Isn't it make you just feel like, why don't you do a pirouette? Off the track, thoroughbred. Where is your passage?
I've been misleading myself by schooling in my jumping bit, because she goes so beautifully in it, and she's all light and balanced and easy and respects it, and doesn't just run through the bridle with her head in there. And because I'm competing tomorrow, I put her snaffle back in, and we did a full on giraffe impression this morning. So I'm slightly dreading tomorrow, and I wish she would channel her inner totalist or Vallegro. Either will do.
Just put in her stall tonight some videos of some YouTube, log it on, put a full screen and let her watch some of it and just be like, look, this is what I need to do. So you have a competition this weekend or this week?
Tomorrow night, actually. It's a Team Quest competition, which British Dressage started after the Olympics to try and get that whole thing of, you know, teams of three and discount scores and people pulling together at different levels and stuff. So I am going with a team of ex-racers, all organized by a friend of mine who's married to a racehorse trainer called Jim Boyle. And Pippa is his wife, and she's on the team, and she arranges all these ex-racer competitions. So there'll be a team of three ex-racers competing against proper dressage horses tomorrow night.
Do you have
a name?
Well,
I think with Pippa Funnel on your team, you're going to do great.
Sadly, not Pippa Funnel, Pippa Boyle. I will tell her I want her to ride as well as Pippa Funnel. And that might work.
But, I thought of Pippa Middleton when you said that, so I'm way off too. You know.
Sadly, there's no Rolex Grand Slam winners or any minor royals on our dressage team tomorrow. We don't have a funny name. Lots of them do, like the Enter A team. I saw them on the start list. I thought, oh, they sound scary. They probably will turn up in a black van and so on. But no, our team's called Jim Boyle's Ex-Racers, just to highlight to the judge that these are crazy thoroughbreds and they should mark them accordingly. So yeah.
This is the rescue relay team. Okay. And,
maybe they'll take pity on us.
Please,
it'll be fun.
That should be your team name. Please be nice.
Yes, exactly.
That's perfect. I like that. That's a great name.
That's great. Well, let's see. The next thing I wanted to talk to you about that I saw on Horse and Country TV is talking about these horses that were loose on M25, which I'm assuming is like an interstate, like here.
It's a motorway that is basically a ring road all the way around London. So it's the busiest, biggest, most jam-packed motorway in the country, and yes, a trailer flipped over and the horses got loose and ran for a mile and caused chaos, but luckily they were caught and they weren't too much harmed. But honestly, this week there's been, you know, you don't get a horse bot story for ages and two come along at once, because we have that one and then we have the other one of a horse box that drove under a bridge and took the top off the horse box, so managed to turn it into a convertible horse box with the horse still inside. So not good.
Did the horse make it?
He did. It was absolutely fine, but must have been terrified as it suddenly got exposed to daylight while merrily traveling along. So there is a little reminder. It might not be the same for you guys, because I don't suppose you've got as many crazy little country roads as we do over in the UK, but do check the height of your horse.
If you've never been in Kentucky sometime, you'll find those crazy little country roads. Hey, you know what? We had an accident that you guys are going to love here in Florida on I-75, which is our major road. You've been on I-75 probably, actually. Victoria.
I possibly have.
Yeah, a Bud Light truck carrying an entire tractor trailer load of Bud Light beer cans turned over, broke open, and set the beer cans all over I-75. It took them hours to clean up the beer off of I-75 because everybody kept running over trying to grab the beer. No, that wasn't the real reason. But they have these pictures of these beer cans all over the highway. They're just everywhere.
Oh.
And a lot of people would say that's appropriate for Bud Light being all over the highway.
No comment, of course.
Like, is that where it needs to stay?
Kind yeah, of thing? Pretty much, yeah. It's appropriate that it's spilled all over the interstate.
Yeah. Yeah. Oops.
And there'll never be a sponsor of our show.
So. I can't sell that thing. All right, so real quick, your pony riders. Talk to the Britain's pony team picks up 5 gold medals.
Yeah, you are metal hogs over there in Britain. I'm just saying.
We are. Yeah. Sorry about this. But we've never done this before, and I don't know if anybody else has, but we had our Pony European Championships in Sweden, and Britain won team gold in show jumping, dressage, and eventing. That is a little bit greedy, but also really cool. And it makes us think that we're quite reassured that we might win medals in future when Charlotte and Vallejo have retired. So, I'm really proud of them. It's great news for our pony teams.
And they're all just so stinking cute.
They are.
Little helmets that one of the girls has, like, the little British flag on the front of her helmet. Just adorable. And, you know, part of the prize that they all got, I mean, aside from these gold medals, they all got little stuffed ponies. They're so cute.
The one to watch on our pony riders is a girl called Phoebe Peters, who has been getting 80% plus. She's riding some of Charlotte Dujardin's young horses. So it's 16.
Charlotte, that's not a bad gig.
It's quite cool. If Charlotte is Carl's protege, Phoebe is Charlotte. So watch out for her in the future.
There are two very British names you never hear anywhere else, Phoebe and Pippa.
that is true. Pippa is a great name if you're horsey, because it means lover of horses. So Philip and Philippa mean lover of horses. So if you want to kind of brainwash your children into liking riding, that's the way to do it. Phoebe, surely you do have some Phoebes, because
I don't think we
friend,
have many.
Phoebe Buffet.
Friends, yeah, Phoebe Buffet. Phoebe, that's all I can think of.
That's the only one I can think of too. I think that was a name that was years ago and not used much anymore yet. And Pippa, I don't know any Pippas that aren't British, but yet there's a lot of Pippas that are British.
Is that yes. Philippa? Is that the is Pippa short for Philippa?
Yes.
Philippa?
Yeah. Oof. Philippa.
I didn't know that either. So
there you go.
We learned
fact
something
of the
today.
Day. Yeah. Horse and country's fact of the day.
That's interesting. What's the most common guy's name over there? It seems like Robert or something kind of boring.
Probably John or David or Jack or something. So
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know, Victoria's a pretty cool name, too.
She's Scottish, so it doesn't even count.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
It's not a very Scottish name either, but...
I was going to say, that's more of a British name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'll have a word with my mum. Some Scottish names are, like, unpronounceable, so... and unspellable, so it's probably...
So do you like guys in kilts?
Yes, but they have to have the legs for it. You need to be quite sort of strong and sturdy. There's nothing worse than a skinny legs and kilts.
I didn't know that. I'm learning so much today. So kilts can be sexy, but they got to have good calves.
They do. They do. The nice, strong calf. Because you're meant, you know, the whole Highland Games things when they do random events like tossing massive telegraph poles and which is called tossing the caber. That is a national sport in Scotland. It's very odd. And you have to be strong. So
yeah, but it always draws a lot of women because true Scots go commando underneath those kilts. And when they toss the cabers, the kilts tend to ride up a bit. So it's always full of women watching.
No, you can convince yourself that women want to see that angle. They don't. There's
they're
nothing
watching,
attractive about that.
Cheering. I mean, with their binoculars, I've seen them. You ask Victoria, she's right there in the sidelines watching them throw those capers.
I'm having disturbing flashbacks to school dances when all the boys wore kilts and
really?
We had to do traditional
at a school
Scottish
dance?
Dancing. Yeah, bad times.
Did they show their wieners? Like, what's awful?
I think when you hit your teens, it became very amusing to try and flick people's kilts up. So, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Who knew what happens
usually
there
from behind,
in Scotland?
I'd like to add. This has gone downhill very quickly.
Oh, real quick, let's talk about your latest video and then we'll let you go.
I love this video. These are a combination from the famous, well, Robert Whittaker is one of the famous Whittaker family, son of John. And it's a really cool video because you see John Whittaker like jumping every fence from the sidelines. So he's, you know, proud, proper proud father. But Catwalk is renowned for bucking in between fences. So, and Robert just sits there like nothing's happened as his horse is a huge big buck. So it's quite entertaining to watch. But he leaves all the jumps up and that's all that matters.
That's great. I think it was Elisa's Wallace dad, Glenn, that was also kind of filmed jumping with Elisa with his daughter.
Yes, it was.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
It's like, so she's going along and they're videoing him and he's like, ugh, you know, like he'll crest release or whatever. And you're like, oh, he's folding.
Those two are a lot alike, actually, because Elisa Wallace's father's kind of that old school guy, too. So, yeah. Very proud of their kids.
Well, oh, Victoria, nice. I'm super excited to find out what happens with Vallegro and Totalus. So we'll definitely keep up to date. We'll watch horseandcountry.tv is where everybody needs to go for the latest news. And good luck on your horse show tomorrow, all those off-the-track thoroughbreds.
Thank you. I will do. Hopefully it won't be too embarrassing.
There'll be an award for the one that stays inside the lines.
Yeah, inside the chains.
Yep,
okay?
Inside the keep chains. It. Keep them in there. It's always better.
The last time I went to this showground, there was a traditional like gypsy cob in the next arena with lots of feathers, and my horse took fright and wouldn't go near it. So let's just hope that there's no cobs.
Good looking girl in the other ring.
Yeah. Oops.
Oops.
All right, Victoria. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much.
See you, Victoria.
Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. I don't know why she keeps calling back. My God.
I don't know either. And actually, she got a new headset. She sounded much better, actually, this time.
Yeah. She's like a real journalist, and she comes on our show.
I know. I know. And then we take her down into kilts and commando. And anyway, so let me just do a quick review, and then we're going to call it a day.
Do you have a quarter I could borrow? Because my mama told me to call home when I fell in love. Oh, you want a quarter? Oh my God, I'm fresh out because I had to go to the laundromat earlier and like sneak in because they do not let you wash horse blankets. But I had like 4 loads of horse laundry and some of the blankets were so coated with urine and shavings that they had to be washed twice. And don't even talk to me about the poop that was caked on. I mean, that's a lot of quarters. I cannot imagine how my car smells after transporting those blankets. I mean, it stinks in there. You probably wouldn't even want to sit in it. Spring cleaning is such a time suck. I hate cleaning. You want to go for a ride?
I can see the guy just running out of the bar and never coming back. Like, even quit drinking. He's going to be at an AA meeting in 10 minutes.
Okay, sorry. What were you going to say?
I have no idea. All right, we're going to call it a day. I just want to remind everybody that we have a couple of best of episodes for you. The next couple of days, we'll be live back here on Monday. Monday will be the only day we're live for the next week and a half. But we do have lots of shows we recorded ahead, so you'll definitely want to tune in every day on Horses in the Morning. And then Jennifer and I will be hanging out with Helena. We're going to go to Newport. It's the Newport Coaching Festival in Newport, Rhode Island. Of course, Newport's where all the mansions are. The big mansions, the Breakers and all those, where the super rich were. And they all get together, the descendants of the super rich, and get out their coaches and get all dressed up and have expensive parties. Well, David Saunders is going to be there with Gloria, and we're hoping to at least get to meet up and say hi with them and see some of the carriages and stuff.
Oh, fun.
So that should be fun.
I adore him. He's my darling.
A lot of people do. So and then we're gonna go touring the mansions and things with Helena and hang out with her and her daughter for the week. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to a little break here. What else? You're gonna be heading off to see the wild horses, right? Are you still doing that?
Yes, my mom gets in town on Saturday. Chad leaves on another one of his trips on Friday. So I figure what a better time to have my mom out because, you know, who wants their mother-in-law for 2 weeks? So she's going to be here for at least a week while he's gone, because he's only going to be gone 1 week, apparently, this time. We'll see. And then she's going to stay through the next week. But we're going to leave on Monday and drive to the Tonto National Forest. There is, you're going to love it. I'm taking a baby to a casino, because that is about the only place to stay in that area is the casino. It's an Indian casino.
I was going to say it had to be an Indian casino for sure.
Of course. Yeah. But they have it's a casino and resort. So there's a really nice pool and everything. So we're going to take a little day trip and
hey,
or a couple
learn
days.
Blackjack sometime.
You know what? If they wouldn't throw me out of the dang casino, he'd be sitting in my arms trying to grab the cards. So, we're going to go. We're going to head there Monday and then go see the wild horses Tuesday. And then
does your mom know she's going on this trip?
Oh, she's so excited. Are you kidding me?
Is she one of those that hooks up like with an umbilical cord to the slot machine with the card?
She's not, but I think she would be if she lived near a casino where she lives now. She actually was like, Jamie, if we're going to stay at the casino, like we're going to have to split our time with the baby. I was like, Mom, you're not leaving me to go play gamble.
Yes, she is.
We're not going to gamble, Mom. We're going to hang out by the pool.
You're going to hang out by the pool. She's going to gamble.
Seriously. She's like, how are we going to work the time split? Like, what are we going to do? I'm like, what?
She has a schedule written out.
She's like, okay, it is my 20 minutes to go to Mahjong. And then you're going to go.
She's going to be hooked up like an umbilical cord. It always was amazing to me. You walk in there and you see these 85-year-old women who could barely walk. And they're hooked up by that little cord to the casino or to the slot machine. And they're sitting there for hours.
Yeah. They also usually are hooked up to an oxygen tank.
That's right. That's one side.
Smoking.
The slot machine umbilical cord is on the other side. Uh-huh. And you're going to hear that ringing for about a month after.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 we go to Las Vegas, it's like, in your head.
I think they pipe in coin dropping in sounds because you don't even do that anymore.
Yeah, you don't even do that. I think that does take some of the fun out of it, is walking around with the coins. I mean, trying to take some of the fun out.
A big plastic cup of coins.
Yep. It's probably much more sanitary this way, though.
We're showing off, Glenn, right now that we are gambling junkies because we're old, because none of it's even like this anymore.
I'm a blackjack guy. Slot machines just bore me to death. I have to be able to make at least one decision about my future. So, that's why I like blackjack. I at least get to do something. Slot machines are just boring. I can't do it.
I like the blackjack too, but we're not playing. I have a 2-year-old. I can't gamble with a baby in the casino. Maybe I can.
One of those Bjorns, he doesn't fit in those anymore, does he?
Well, I told you I got kicked out of the Vegas casino and he was just in a car seat. He was like 3 weeks old. So yeah,
oh, really?
I took a baby to a casino.
They said no babies in the casino. But you have to walk through the casino to get anywhere in the hotels.
I know. They make you march. You better go.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I often wonder about that. And then they argue about kids being in there, but you have to like go through to get to the front desk.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But no, I'll never forget. We were like, well, let's just go down and we'll play the ponies. So we went to the sports book and, there's TVs everywhere. It's like a racehorse fan's mecca. It's awesome. And I get the book and I sit down and he's sitting in the car seat and he's under. And it was like these little guys like grabbed their lapels and started talking into their shirts. And it was like, swarm, swarm. And all these guys came out of nowhere and, ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to leave. And I was like, why? There are no children allowed in the casino. I'm like, he's 3 weeks old. What's he going to do? He was like, nobody under 21 is allowed to loiter in the casino. Like, he's loitering. He's 3 weeks old.
Can't even turn over.
But it made me feel like a terrible mother to be kicked out of a casino because you have a baby. Why is a baby in a casino? I was just trying to play the ponies, officer. The worst.
You didn't leave him in the car. That was at least good, right?
True. Oh, you'll be fine. We're in a parking
garage. Made you the mom of the year. You didn't leave him in the car. That's what you usually hear the stories at the casinos. Oh, well.
You never know how your life's going to change with a kid. When you guys have a kid, you can't go gambling with a baby. Okay? They just don't allow it. It's ridiculous. I know.
I know.
Rules, rules.
The rules they have. Well, on that note, let's just leave everybody with that. And we'll be back here Monday morning from the American Equestrian Trade Association with all kinds of new products. Thanks. You have a great trip and say hi to the wild ponies for us.
I will. You guys have a great trip too. Be safe on your adventures, and I can't wait to see your periscope.
All right, we'll be scoping.
Are you in the Air Force? Because you just flew my heart to heaven.
You made most of those up.
Maybe.